This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, friends. We're continuing in Daf HaShavua. We're learning Daf Tzadi Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara in Tzadi Hei Amud Aleph had the following question. We learned in a Mishnah in Gittin on Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis, Ein Nifram in Nechasim Shabadim B'Makam Sheish Nechasim Necharim. We do not collect on property that is sold. We don't collect from property that has a lien on it if there's free property, property that's not sold, even if the B'nai Chorin is Ziburus. Basically, we're not going to take property away from a buyer if there's free property. The question is, what if the free property is just ruined? Will we still then not collect from property that has a lien on it? That was the Gemara Shaila. So we're on the bottom line. Amar le Rav Yemar le Rav Ashi. Rav Yemar said to Rav Ashi, "V'hamaisim b'chol yom." But every single day there's stories where the Dayanim always allow a creditor to take a property that has a lien on it if the Bnei Chayim are ruined. It's stories every single day. People do that. The Dayanim allow it. So what's the Shaila? This is commonly done. For example, Tahu Gavra de Mishkan Le Pardesa Lechavri Lesershnen. There's a guy who committed a pardes, an orchard for his friend, for 10 years. Basically, somebody borrowed money from him. Somebody borrowed money, and the lender said, not the lender, but the borrower committed that as payment for the debt, you're allowed to take 10 years worth of fruits. So in other words, the creditor lent money, and the borrower pledged 10 years worth of fruits. So now, think about it. This is B'nai Chayrin. V'kash l'chamishnin. And this pardes, this orchard, got old after 5 years, so he was not able to collect the B'nai Chayrin for 10 years. The borrower pledged 10 years worth, and after 5 years, it aged. V'asal kamal d'Rabbanon, and he came before the Rabbanon. V'kasulei tirfa, and the Rabbanon wrote a shtar that he could collect nechasim mishubadim. So this is a perfect example where B'nai Chayrin are ruined, and we allow you to collect nechasim mishubadim. So this is a raya to our shayla. We asked earlier, Iboiluhu ishtadaf b'nei chayri mahadu l'throif mishabdi, and we see here where the orchard got aged prematurely after 5 years, and we allowed him to collect karka. Says Gemara, of course over there we could collect karka, because there the buyers of the karka, they made themselves lose out. Hasam nami inhu da afsida nafshayu. The buyers made themselves lose out. Why? Kivan have a yade the pardisa avid the kish, because they know that an orchard typically gets old. So why would they buy a field if knowing that in all likelihood the Bnei Chayrin are going to age? So in a situation where the buyers were at fault, of course you could collect from the field. But so lo yibayilhu lemizon, they should not have bought it. But in a case where something happened unexpectedly, who says you could collect from mishubadim if the Bnei Chayrin got ruined? V'hilchasa, the halacha is ishtaduf Bnei Chari, that if Bnei Chayrin get ruined, tarfa mimishabdi, then you could collect from property which has a lien on it that's sold. Okay. Amar Abai. Abai said, now we're going to talk about a case here where you say to a single woman, Nechasi lech v'acharech leplay, I'm going to marry you. My nechasim will go to you. And after they go to you, they're going to go to so-and-so. And v'amda v'nises, she got up and she got married. And then she died. Now the husband had said, the property is going to go to you. and then it's going to go to so-and-so. The thing is, there's a takana susha that if a woman sells nechse milug, and then she dies, that the husband is moitzi miyad halakuchais. Basically, we always consider the baal loikeach rishain. And the husband is considered to have bought the produce of the wife, b'chayeha. So in this case, even though he said, I'm giving you the produce, I'm giving you my possessions, and after your death they're going to go to so-and-so, but during your lifetime I bought them. Baal loikeach hava, the baal is considered the buyer. Ve'en lachraich b'makam baal klum, and the person who is deemed, and after you, has nothing in the presence of the husband, meaning the husband is considered the first buyer, and it does not go to the person who the husband said will be v'acharayach. Come on! Who does this go like? That if the husband says, and I'm going to give, they're going to go to you, and after you, they're going to go to Pliny, they don't go to Pliny, they go to the husband. Kihai Tana, it goes like the following Tana, the Tana we learned in Ebraisa. Nechasai lich v'acharech l'Pliny. My property will go to you, and after you, it's going to go to Pliny. Let's say Stam, a guy says this to someone. I'm giving you my nechasim, and after I give you my nechasim, it's going to go to Pliny. Yarad harishayinu machar. If the first guy who it was given to sold it, so hasheni moitz miyad halakuchais. The second person, the one who it's supposed to go to afterwards, could take it from the hand of the buyer. Divrei Rebbe. This is the opinion of Rebbe. Basically, according to Rebbe, when you give it to the first guy, he's only given the rights of the peiros, because ultimately you said it's going to you, and then after you to somebody else. So therefore, if the first guy sells it, and then the first guy dies, the second guy could come and take it from the buyer. Basically, Rebbe's of the opinion that you wanted it ultimately to go to the second guy. And to the first guy, you're only giving peiros, and you're giving the guf to the second guy. But Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no. Ein l'sheni elamash sheir rishon. When you say, and after you to the second guy, you meant if there's anything left for the second guy. But if the first guy sells it, so there's nothing left. So too, Abayi's halacha is that when you say to a woman, I'm giving it to you and after you to somebody else, yeah, that's if there's something left for someone else, but I intercepted it in the interim. So the Gemara says that Abaye is going like the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, that when you say, I'm giving to you and after you someone else, the someone else only gets it if there's anything left. If there's nothing left, then the someone else does not get it. Says Gemara, Mi Amar Abaye Hachi, did Abaye said this? Amar Abaye said, Ezehu Rasha Araim. Who is considered a deceitful, wicked person? Zahamasi Eitzel Limkar B'Nechasim. That's someone who gives advice to the first guy to sell the possessions. Like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that it's effective. Because according to Rebbe, if you advise the first guy to sell the field, it's not deceitful, because the second guy could just take it away from him, because ultimately you're giving it to the second guy. But you're considered a deceitful rasha if you advise the first guy to sell it, Rav Shimon Gamliel. So then, if Abaye held that doing so is wicked, then basically why would Abaye say you're allowed to do this? Right, Abaye said, "Nichzi lach v'achrach l'plani v'amda v'nisseis ba'aloi keachava." So why would Abaye suggest doing this if this is a wicked deceit? So Gemara says Abaye never said you're allowed to do it. Abaye said if you did it, and you, mika amar tinasi, did Abaye say that l'chadchila she should get married? It means if she gets married, then it belongs to the husband, and she can't sell it. In other words, what did Abaye say? that if I say the nechasim go to you and afterwards to Pliny, and she gets married, the husband is lekeach, and the new guy gets nothing. But Abai didn't say that this is what could be done lechachila. Abai just said if you got married, then it's it goes to the husband. Now another halacha by Abai. Now this is very interesting. Bamar Abai. Abai said, again, Abai is going like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that when I say it should go to you and after you to somebody else, it's only going to go to somebody else if there's something left to go to somebody else. If there's nothing left to go to somebody else, it won't go to somebody else. Bamar Abai, Abai said, Nechasi lich v'achrach l'plaini. My nechasim go to you, and after you to so-and-so. Umachra, and in the interim, she sold it, Vamesa. Then the husband gets it first. Habal moitz miyad lekuchais. The husband takes it away from the buyers. So basically, in this case, the husband said, someone said to a lady, my nechasim go to you, and after you to so-and-so, and she sold it, and she died. The husband will take it from the buyers. Because the husband's the first buyer. So she tried to sell it. The husband takes it from the buyer. And then, v'acharayich miyad bal. And after you, will take it from the husband. Now this is interesting, because earlier we didn't say and the after you could take it from the husband. Earlier we said, what did Abai say earlier? Nichsi lach v'achrayach l'ploini, and she got married, the husband takes it away. V'ein l'achrayach b'makam abal. So why over here do we say v'achrayach gets it? The answer is, we're going to see, because here she was married. So if she was married, if somebody says, my nechasim go to you, and afterwards to Pliny, he meant, and not to your husband. But if somebody said it to her before she was married, then it goes to you and after you to so-and-so, but now she got married and the husband intercepted it. So it depends. So basically, the husband takes it away from the buyer, and the after you takes away from the husband. But then, once the after you has it, but she sold it, and the buyer takes it away from the after you guy. So let's think about this case. This case, she was married, and somebody said, my property go to you. And after you die, it goes to Pliny. And then she sold it. Well, if she sells it, the husband says, I'm the first buyer. But once the husband has it, it needs to go to the after you. But once the after you gets it, it should go to the buyer. Why should it go to the buyer? Because the idea that the after you gets it is only if there's something left for the be after you. But there's nothing left for the end of the after you because it was sold. But once it's sold, it goes to the husband. Once it goes to the husband, it should go to the be after you. So the Gemara asks, why do we say, and when it's all said and done, it should go to the hand of the purchaser, the first purchaser. Now that's the question. Why should go to the first purchaser? Why don't we have this chozer chalila like in the Mishnah, a never-ending cycle, and we should force them to come to some kind of compromise? Says Gemara, Maishna mehadetna. Why is this different from that which we learned in the Mishnah? The chozer is chalila at shiasub sharbenam. That there's a endless circle until they make a compromise. So Gemara says no. In the Mishnah, hasam islub seyda lekulu. They're in the Mishnah. Everyone's going to get a loss. Therefore, we come to a compromise with everyone. Hacha leikeachud islep sid. But here, it's only the buyer who's going to have a loss. What does this mean? In the Mishnah, everyone's going to have a loss because you have two ladies. They both want to collect the ksuba, and you have a buyer who bought something. So we have to accommodate everyone. But in a Abaye's situation, the husband didn't pay for anything. The V after you didn't pay for anything. There's only a buyer. He's the only one who stands to lose. So we'll give it to him. Okay. Now we're gonna ask a steer in Abaye's. Because why in the first situation of Abaye does Abaye say the husband gets it? And in this situation of Abaye, we say the buyer gets it. Azal Rafram, Amr al-Shmatikumid Ravashi, Rafram, he went and he said the teaching of Abaye before Ravashi, and he asked me, Amr Abaye, how did Abaye say this? That ultimately we give it to the buyer? But Amr Abaye, didn't Abaye say, Nichsi lach v'achrach l'ployni, Amda v'nisseis, if she got married, Baal lo ikeachavi, the Baal gets it, Vein l'achrach v'makam baal klumin, and the after you guy has no rights to claim it from the husband. In other words, why in the first case do we give it to the husband, and in this case we give it to the buyer? So listen carefully. In the first case, she was single. So when a guy said, it goes to you and after you to Pliny, well, that's if you don't get married. But now that you get married, it goes to the husband. He's the first buyer. Hasam, the Amar Lake Shipnuya. There, when the person giving it said it when she was single, and therefore when he said, and after you, that's after you if you don't get married. I mean, he never had in mind that it should go to somebody else if you get married. But Hacha, in this case, the Amar Lakshi Nasua, somebody said it to her when she's married. Maika Amar, what's he saying, the after you? The after you is saying, Acharayach likni baal loy likni. The guy after you should get it and not the husband. So basically, in this second case of Abaye, think about it for a second. Somebody says, the Nechasim should go to you and afterwards to Pliny, and she sold it. So she sold it, the husband's the first buyer. The thing is, but the guy who gave it to her wanted the after you to get it. So it goes to the after you. But then the first buyer should get it. But after, the first buyer goes to the husband. So in other words, the reason why we give it to the after you guy in this case is because the person said it when she was married. He obviously didn't want the husband to get it. Okay. Then the Mishnah ended off. Here, let's take a look back at the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if somebody's married to two women, so he owed two women a ksuba, he sold the field, and the first woman said, the first woman wrote to Lekeach, I have no claim on your purchase. So what happens? The second woman could take it from the buyer, and the first woman takes it from the second woman, and then the buyer takes it from the first woman, and it becomes an endless cycle. So what does it mean? V'chein bal choiv, v'chein isha bal aschoiv. So says Gemara, Tana, v'chein bal choiv u'shnei lukuchais. It means the same thing would be with a bal choiv and two buyers. V'chein isha bal aschoiv u'shnei lukuchais. Or a woman who is owed money, and they're two buyers. Let's take a look at Rashi. You ready for this case? V'chein bal choiv u'shnei lukuchais. Says the holy Rashi, Reuven noisha b'shimon mana. Reuven owed Shimon a mana. Reuven noisha b'shemana. Lent Shimon amana. So Reuven lent Shimon amana, and v'loy shtei sadash. Shimon had two fields. Umachron l'shnayim, and he sold it to two different people. Zuba chamishim is zuba chamishim. He sold it to A for 50 and B for 50. V'kasa balchoiv l'loikeach sheni, and Reuven wrote to the first buyer, to the second buyer, Reuven wrote to the second buyer, Dinu dvarm ein liyimcha, I'm not going to collect from your field. So what does the Baal Chayv do now? Baal Chayv noitu miyad arishayin. The Baal Chayv takes from the first guy. Now, why can't the first guy say, well, why are you collecting from me? I left you a field with Ploini. The thing is, he's owed 100 bucks, 100 zuz, and the second field is only 50. So the second guy didn't really leave anything for the first guy. In other words, I'm sorry, the first guy didn't really leave anything with the second guy because he only had a field of 50. So it's not like the first buyer left a way to collect from the second buyer. So if Reuven said, I'm not going to collect from the second one, he could definitely go to the first one. Shahari choyve keneged shteyem v'loikeach rishayin. Basically, so Reuven's going to go to the first buyer, and the first buyer is going to collect from the second buyer, and once it's in the hands of, and then the Baal Choyv, Ubaal Choyv Choyzer Moitzi Avzu Min Arishayin, the Baal Choyv is now going to collect the whole debt from the first one, because he collected 50 from the first one, and the first one took the 50 from the second one, so now the Baal Chayv has it, Reuven has it. The thing is, Reuven said, I'm not going to collect any from the second one. And the second buyer now takes both fields, from Reuven, but once he takes it from Reuven, but it was guaranteed to the first buyer. So basically it becomes a never-ending cycle. And then the next case is, if not Reuven collecting money from Shimon, but if you have a woman collecting her ksuba, and the husband sold both fields, and the same situation where the woman said that, I'm not going to collect from the second buyer. So that would be the other case the Mishnah is talking about, even though it's, so to speak, exactly the same as the Mishnah's case of Mishahi Anasoi Beis Nashim, but instead of Beis Nashim, it's one woman and two buyers. Okay, so that's the end of Perek Asiri, Hadron Alach Mishahi Anasoi. And now we do the 11th parak, Almana Nizoinus Minechse Yisoimim. And Almana is sustained by the Nechasim of the Yisoimim. Now these Yisoimim are not necessarily her children, so they're not inheriting her ksuba, but they have to support her. Maisi Adel Shalahen, in exchange for supporting her, her wages go to them. But Ve'en Chayivim Bekvurasa, they don't have to bury her. Who buries her? Yarsheha, Yarshek Subas Chayav Mikvurasa. Her heirs, who are inheriting her ksuba, are Chayav in her kvura. Okay. Frakti Gemara, Yibayluhu, we have the following question. Nizoinas Tnan Oy Hanizoinas. Do we read it, an almana is sustained from the Nechse Yisoimim? Meaning, is that a takana, that a almana has to be sustained by the Nechse Yisoimim? Or Hani Zaynis, if she's sustained, then Ma'asi Adeha go to the Yisoimim. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Anshe Galil Hayukosin At Tehe Yasvis Bebesi Umitsuna Minechsi Koyimei Megar Amalusach Bebesi. The Anshe Galil would obligate themselves. That was their responsibility. The Anshe Yehuda would write that it was sort of discretionary for the Yarshim, and if they do that, they get the Ma'asi Yadayim. So it says the Gemara, Tanan, Nizoynes Tanan. It's taught, Almana Nizoynes, she is sustained, Uka Anshe Galil. Like the custom of the Anshe Galil, V'loy Sagi Lo Yavila. It would not be sufficient if he does not give it to her. Aydilma, or maybe, Ha Nizoynes Tanan. Meaning, or maybe the right gersa is, that is sustained, like the Anshe Yehuda. That in other words, that if an almana is nizoynes, then ma'asiyah de'a shalahen. In other words, do we read it, an almana, it's two statements, an almana is sustained, and since she's sustained, ma'asiyah de'a shalahen, or do we read it, an almana that is sustained, her ma'asiyah dayim go to her. Okay, we'll pick this up. I would like to do this Sadivav on Thursday night, okay? To stay on track, okay? Shkoyach, everyone. Have a good night. Kol tov. Kol tov, kol tov.
Ready?
Yeah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.